Good day, everyone, wherever you are, whenever you are listening. Welcome back to the 23 Podcast. My name is Parker Kern. I'm here along with Father Jeff Macbeth. Father, what's going on in your life this week?
Oh, man. So, interestingly, you're talking about the podcast recording. I had a visit from some family, my brother and his family, who I hadn't seen in a long time.
They
came up earlier. And last their night, we were at Tony Paco's.
Oh!
My brother wanted to go, the OG Tony Paco's.
Oh, my gosh.
Some of my cousins met us there, and it turned out that at this table of nine people, you know, here in the family, three of us have experience with podcasts.
Whoa, really?
I was like, wow, like we should have a podcast about our podcast.
Yeah, we should have a Macbeth podcast.
Yeah, so it was kind of wild.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You guys are like the Kelseys, you know, with their podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Friends in the family. So do they listen to our podcast?
Although my cousin's wife, she's like, I didn't know you had a podcast. So I sent her the link to the 23.church
Well, hey, welcome.
Media page. Yeah. So yeah, Tasha, if you're listening, thank you.
Tasha.
And I should have thought of this more ahead of time. One of her daughters does like this little podcast, or it's dabbled in it anyway.
Yeah.
And so, but I was like, man. And then my sister-in-law has been with this podcast for like 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, this is wild. So yeah,
here we go. You're part of a long lineage,
or it just shows anyone can do a podcast.
Or, yeah.
You know, as maybe we're proving each and every week.
Well, so we're still here, though.
That's right. We march ahead.
We try.
You know,
we try for you.
All you can do is put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
So and see. But yeah, cool. Yeah. So that's been fun. And, you know, despite the fact that we need rain, I've been enjoying beautiful weather.
Oh, yeah. It's been great. Last weekend, well, this past weekend especially, was like the vibes were just immaculate. I mean, the fall, it felt like fall. And then, you know, the sweats and the crew neck comes out. And it's just so, I love fall. Fall is my favorite.
Yeah. I'm a fan of the fall. I'm a fan of the fall. But yeah, lots going on around the
the
parish. His family faith formation finally kicks off this weekend.
And how about Chris Stefanik
really
last night? What a crazy time that was.
Yeah,
huh?
God bless him.
So powerful.
God bless him. Yeah, that's been. And again, appreciate Bobby and all the team for working on this. And it's just been
it's a wonderful
been
night.
Yeah,
wonderful
and everyone who's invited people and things like that. That's part of what we need to be doing. I know, it's just inviting people to things. You know, sometimes we wonder why people don't come to things, and people need to be invited.
Yes.
You know? So it's part of our it's part of the value of invitation.
Absolutely.
You know, in the parish.
Which is a core philosophy.
One of our core values, and just being part of a missionary disciple,
mm-hmm.
you know, is to invite people. And, you know, something like that, you know, Chris will do the work. You know, it's got to get him there.
Right.
So, well, ultimately, it's God that does the work, but you know, through
He's a vessel,
right? Through human vessels in different ways. Of course, there's still a chance to get on the men's invitational weekend. It's coming up really quick, so this is sort of the last minute time,
right? Next
weekend.
Yeah.
So this is the time. So 23.church go to the men's invitational page. It'll be great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a couple of years ago, my first year, I did it in November, and it snowed like 3 inches, and it was super cold. And they're like, "Well, forget that." They had always done it in November, and then the team was like, "We're done, with this." And so it's now it's in September.
Yeah,
so
fall time is good.
It should be really great.
Yeah,
and we have some shift in our youth ministry. Speaking of family faith formation,
mm-hmm.
And so really excited about this. You know, and just there's been a shift over really a lot of years. You know, with a different generation and meeting different generational needs, that anymore youth ministry is not as much about the gathered events, you know, and getting people to a youth group, which is a term that I've long disliked. And so, yeah, we're stepping out and we're doing something different. And Bobby and his team we're partnering with a new ministry called Live Jesus to do some small group. Some small groups, you know, which is pretty wild, you know, that maybe you and a group of people you already know. Sometimes with these groups, people are randomly put together. But, you know, the idea is you can just even do it with people that you're already friends with. And if there's an adult in the parish that you want to be a mentor, you know, we can walk with you for 4 years and just sort of talk life and faith and things like that. And so we're really excited about that because some people, you know, maybe they're not going to go to a youth group, which is part of what I don't like about it. But, you know, I think everybody sort of wants to have a connection with God and have someone to walk with them, and especially this generation. Maybe you've seen Bobby wearing the T-shirt that says 24 plus 1 equals 6. So what that means is, you know, about 24% of, you know, high school students, you know, suffer with anxiety. You introduce one mentor into their life, that goes down to 6%. So, you know, one faith-filled mentor, you know, in a young person's life can really make a world of difference. So we're just sort of getting this off the ground. And though there's some training involved, and I'm actually doing this mentor training.
Whoa.
I know. Even if I don't get a small group, I figured it'd be good for me.
Well, who wouldn't want to be in your smoke?
Yeah, exactly. It'd be good for me to do. So I'm doing the Live Jesus Mentor training.
Wow.
Coming up mostly in October. Yeah, so excited about that and sort of where the future is gonna go. We'll still have some fun events, you know, like they had the Survivor Night the other night and the, you know, paint wars and tubing and all that kind of stuff, mission trip, you know.
Yeah.
But the big focus is gonna try to be on these small groups and equipping people to lead those.
So. Yeah, I think, just speaking from an outsider's perspective, I think it's good. Having been a part of all the youth groups here, right, as I was a kid, obviously they were beneficial. But I think, again, as you said, in this day and age, there's so much different that even from when I was a kid is totally different now.
Yeah.
10, 12 years. So I think, I mean, obviously you, Bobby, and the Live Jesus team are doing great things. I think that it's going to be very powerful for them to have more of an experience, almost like basically a disciple group, like,
yep,
for the adults, right? And so I think that a lot of value will come from that. And I think that certainly the program is going to be very successful. I'm looking forward to seeing the results of it as it starts.
Yeah, even, you know, Father Chris Turner, who was a youth minister for a lot of years and put on events and did, mm-hmm, programming, you know, he said to me, he goes, I've had to really get over. It was hard. He's like, I really had to get over the whole mindset of programming events.
Yeah, cool. Well, I mean, because you're basically, you know, you're an event planner in some form, and you're basically putting on a show every week.
Well, it's just what we all grew up with.
Right.
You know?
But not saying that youth group's, mm-hmm, a show, but I'm saying, like, you have to have these big things to draw, mm-hmm, people in. And then, you know, I think the thing where sometimes people fall off is the...
What's next?
Yeah.
Yep.
So I think that focusing solely on that now is going to be really beneficial. And I think it's going to lead to a lot more, you know, a lot more people coming to really deepen their relationship with God at a young age.
Yeah. And so right now we kind of have the what's next,
mm-hmm,
you know, from whether it's a retreat, a summer camp, you know, whatever, yeah, there's some ways to keep that going and not just have it be kind of a flash in the pan.
Yeah.
Speaking of growing as disciples, the Disciple Maker Index is now live. And so, again, this is a special survey that we're, which we really want everyone to complete, partnering with Catholic Leadership Institute. It's open from September 11th, so now.
Yeah.
Right. Through October 9th, so 4 weeks. And we literally want everyone to take it. So if you come and sit in the pew at St. John the 23rd, we want you to take the survey. Like, this is not a specialized group. It's not people who are super active. Like, if you come sit in a pew, we would love for you to take the survey, because the more people that take it, the more diverse, you know, sort of people of their experiences take it, the better data we get about our parish and who's out there and what your experience has been and what your needs are and things like that. So we're really, really asking everyone to do this, you know, for the good of the parish, you know, so we can develop a plan for the next couple of years, you know, based on what the survey says. But it's just so important. So it's not like a little 10 second thing, you know. It's not a quick phone survey, you know, rate your parish on a level of 1 to 10. It's actually like 75 questions, because we really are trying to dig deep. And so it might take like 10 minutes to fill out.
Are these all, now I should ask for my sake and everyone else's sake. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, I love questions.
Good. Okay. Are they like bubbles, multiple choice? Do you have to write stuff in?
I believe it is just like there is a scale.
Okay. Like,
I believe
somewhat likely, least likely.
I haven't, you know, I should have, I looked at it close. I've looked at it, but it's just been a little while.
Okay.
There's no write-in portion.
Okay.
There's no write-in portion.
Because sometimes if you're taking it on a laptop or a phone, it might be, you know, it might be different.
Yeah, no, it's all, okay. There's all like a scale.
Okay.
But we'd love for people to take this online.
Sure.
You know, we'll have some paper versions available, you know. But here's the thing. You know, this data is going to get collected by this company. And so if you do it online, they already have it. They already have the data. And then as these come in, they can continue to just sort of collate the data.
Right.
Paper survey, you know, we take it. We send it back to them in the mail, right, which is sus. Someone there has to sort of input all this stuff and hopefully get it right, you know? And so it's actually better if it's a very belabored process to do it on paper. Now, if that's what you need to do, we still want to hear from you. But we would love people to take it online. A link QR code should be in the bulletin. You can go to 23.church into the DMI survey page for the link to our parish's survey. So please, 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 like literally everyone, take this survey. It'll be immensely helpful to us as we go forward.
Yeah, very, very cool stuff. I will take it today.
I need to take it as well. I should like lead by example.
Yeah.
But
maybe we should
probably give everyone like all tens.
We should I was going to say we should do a podcast where we both take it on air.
Oh, there you go.
And then we do like a special podcast.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hmm.
And then we like answer. No, I'm teasing. That's not a good idea. But that'd be funny though.
Yeah.
It was really easy.
Right.
Fun. So
best 10 minutes of my life.
Well, okay. That's good. I'm looking forward to it. So we're already at 12 minutes and we haven't even talked scripture yet.
Wow. Finally. Yeah. All right, let's get to it then.
Let's get on it.
I know. But there's so much great stuff to talk about.
Oh, it's so much great stuff. Yeah. No.
So the gospel for this Sunday, 24th Sunday in Ordinary Time, from Mark chapter 8, verses 27 to 35. Jesus and his disciples set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Along the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They sent a reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others, one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said to him in reply, "You are the Christ." Then he warned them not to tell anyone about him. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and rise after 3 days. He spoke this openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. At this, he turned around and said, and looking at his disciples, rebuked Peter, and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." He summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it."
Interesting. Father's taking a sip here.
Yeah, once again, yeah. There's a lot there. I guess I'm really always drawn to passages like, you know, those who look to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it, mm-hmm, or will save it.
Well, because it's such an oxymoron, mm-hmm, paradoxical, you know. It, mm-hmm, just so... You can say you wrap your head around it, but you really honestly don't.
Right. Yeah, like in God's math, like the more we give away, not the less we have, but actually the more we have.
Right.
And the fuller we are. So otherwise, if we just sort of like try to, you know, squeeze on to things, it's like, you know, mud or clay. Like the tighter you squeeze, the more it slips through your fingers.
Right.
You know? And but if we're willing to sort of kind of lose our life in Christ, like St. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, "I live no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me," then we actually find out more who we are. St. John Paul II even said, you know, we discover ourselves through the gift of ourself,
right,
which makes sense because we're made in the image and likeness of the God who is self-giving love. And so that's kind of part of fulfilling our whole purpose.
Yeah. And, you know, Jesus says very, very plainly, I mean, probably I would argue the hardest line in the whole gospel, "Get behind me, Satan." Like, he literally calls Peter Satan. Like, mm-hmm, what? But, I mean, if you think about the significance of it, he's telling him, you know, you're not thinking As I'm, you're basically, he's saying in a very pointed way, you're not listening to what I'm really saying to you. Like, you might be hearing the words, but you're not really understanding, and you're not really actively listening to what I'm actually trying to get through to you right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the word Satan meat, it comes from word hashatan, which means like an obstacle or like a stumbling block, something that gets in the way. So, you know, right, sort of calling him Satan, but also in calling him that, he's saying you're getting in the way.
You're in my way, bro. Move.
Yeah, you're an obstacle to my mission, which is to die for you, you know, and rise for you. Mm-hmm. They probably didn't, I mean, the dying for you part was probably, their head was probably spinning enough, they didn't get to the rise part.
They didn't even, yeah.
But, you know, that get behind me, not just sort of go away, but get behind me.
Come with me.
Yeah, you know, and then he talks about, you know, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Like we get behind Jesus, that's where we should be.
Right.
You know, and some of what it means to get behind Jesus, you know, is that willingness to lose our life in a sense, you know, kind of to let go of that for his sake. But it's in that we find out who we are. I mean, I guess we all do that in our own way, and every vocation, you know, speaks to that, obviously. That happens, you know, sort of in marriage, where you're there for the other person. You know, certainly for me, that's, you know, that's why I'm drawn to passages like this, because it's sort of like, you know, sort of losing my life for Christ's sake, you know, in order to find out what my sort of purpose in life is.
Yeah, really.
So, you know, it's like, I didn't give up my life to be the president of the Jesus Appreciation Club. You know, it's so deeper than that. And it speaks to even there, like what we're for, and just our whole like eternal life, you know? And so,
right.
There's just, that's why, partly why there's just so much here.
Yeah. And right. And you think about, how that looks in our life, right? Dying, you know, dying to yourself and saving your life in Christ, and what does that truly look like? And obviously next week we talk a little bit more about that, but this week is kind of, and again, we're setting the table for it in terms of, you know, really surrendering to what we know, and who we know is saving us. Because right now, again, this is the introduction, as Father Rowe said in his homily last week, right? Like, he said the miracle shows are over, right? Like now he's going straight to the cross. Like the gospels are all about going straight to the cross, right? And so it's up to us to really buy into that even today. And it's not, you know, our heads spin too when if we're really listening to this how it's supposed to be listened to, which is how the disciples were presumably listening to it, right? Actually, the words coming out of Jesus' mouth. Yeah, our heads should be spinning too, right? Because it's so immense. And though we obviously have the results of what happened already, right? We still celebrate what it is and the significance of that moment and the significance of that pivot in his mission to save all of us.
Yeah, and that's totally, I forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, but it was just so insightful. Right?
Yeah, no, it was so insightful that it just, it went away.
Right.
But, yeah, but that really is the crux though, is that willingness to die to self. There's no love without sacrifice, you know, even if it's done willingly. Yep. There's just, you know, anything we do to put ourselves aside, you know, for somebody else, you know, does take a sacrifice. I mean, how many millions of times do parents have to do that for their kids?
No,
you know, and
hundreds
and,
thousands,
right? And then just us for one another. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that's sort of the losing yourself, you know, for the good of another. But without it, we wouldn't have relationships, and all that. And so it really fits into the core of who God is then, and then who we are.
Yeah, and I just think too. I mean, even if you're, it's not necessarily monetarily giving of your to others, right? It's your time, your
energy,
you know, right? So it's just you, even, you know, sitting down with someone and having a conversation with him, right? Like these new high school groups, to bring it back to that, right? Like there's going to be mentors in there. I'm guessing they're not going to be paid for this, right? They're just going to be...
It's a huge sacrifice. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's they're willingly basically giving a four-year commitment to people that they probably don't even know to help them out because they're called to do something for other people. That's right there. You want to talk about sacrifice. That's sacrifice.
Yeah, playing with your kids after a long day of work, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, even just, I'll be willing to help out with something here in the parish, you know. And there's just so many ways this plays out in our life. But it's in that that we share in the glory of God, which is great.
And it just constantly comes right back at us. And the reminder is there, the call is there to constantly be attentive to that. Because how quickly we can forget that, right? In this world of competition and commercialism and all the things that we've been kind of bred to do through our culture, how quickly, you know, we can forget and how quickly we can not, you know, be less prone to or less likely to sacrifice for other people just because of you know, what we're told to do by things that are not, I don't know, the Son of God, right? So
in our second reading, just super quick from James that we'll hear, you know, is if we have faith, we need to just demonstrate it by works. And the ultimate work that we do is to share that work that Jesus did in the sense of giving our life for the good of one another.
Yeah. And that he did. Yep. He saved all of us.
Oh, so let's take that to prayer.
Let's take that to prayer.
Yeah, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah, come Holy Spirit. God, we are just so mindful of all that you have done for us in bringing us to life and taking us beyond ourselves and incorporating us into a new life of grace and into your body, the church, and giving us that mission to live your life and so not only do good, but then to find out who we really are. And the fullness that you have made us for. We know this is hard, God, and so we just pray for your grace each day in order to strengthen us. And of course, as we have communion with your self-giving love in Mass, we know that you are indeed with us, and we can rely upon that and call upon your help. Even in the challenging times, to witness to your life. God, we love you. We thank you for your love for us. Sustain us this day and each day in that love, in the Holy Spirit, and through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Father, thank you so much. Another great show today.
Thanks, Parker. Thank you, everybody. God bless you. See you.